Subset B is first reading of 2018-11 ordinance. This is a supplemental appropriation. It's that time of year, Faye, so we'll turn it over to you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Before you, we have the, I believe this is our second supplemental. We did one early this in January, but that was just basically moving around a few things. But anyway, this is our second supplemental for this year. We have some general fund, professional fees, and utilities for your council. The professional fees were for the NEPA study for the Levesque property, and utilities is for the Kiwanis. Auditorium, we had repairs and maintenance that came about for the air conditioner down at the auditorium. Rally other is the mayor's ride had many more riders and more revenue, and so the mayor did give out a little extra money, and so we're going to cover that in the budget. So, but there is money to do that. So good for the mayor.
It was a good year for sure.
The airport, we're going to have a fuel system out there, and so now we will have to buy fuel. But there is a source. There will be a revenue source to cover this, so it's just covering the budget part of it. Special sales tax, we have the utilities, which is for the Harley-Davidson Way. Harley-Davidson Point for the plaza down there. And then the transfer out, 65. That is the JMP sponsorship agreement, and that is just to do how we agreed with JMP to pay their sponsorship as the sales tax. It was the agreement that we had on the sales tax.
For staying open year-round.
Correct, yep. Correct. And then capital improvements, it looks big, but there's a lot of things happening. So the repairs, the first first three are just covering different little small projects that we had. They're projects that will not be capitalized, but they did cost us some money. And I did list those, weight room expansion, the video system and cameras, stuff like that. The parks was the Sturgis Trails. And then the next two, of course, are the big ones, the buildings that we built, the outbuildings. We needed to get the budget for that. And then the improvements, that will be just covering 9th Street and then anything else as far as goes the Public Works building. Bid district, the transfer out, the 17.5, that is to do with the Jack Daniels barrels. And that is just that the check is going to be going to the Downtown Foundation instead of us because we can't receive it. Equipment replacement, we're just a little over on the machinery equipment. There were a couple copiers that were bought, and then just a little bit over on the equipment on that. Dolan Creek, Woodland, that is just that we are getting more sales tax in, and so we just need to cover that.
Property tax.
Not sales tax, property tax, yep. Correct. Do you have any questions? Went through it kind of fast, but...
Yeah, I was wondering if you could just kind of expand on the Levesque property and the NEPA, FEMA
Lomar
study.
We could give you hours of information if you wanted.
Okay.
Yes, we could. Try to give you a 30-second version here. The city agreed with the Levesques back in, I think it was early 2000s, and it might have been the late 1990s. That the city was going to try to go through a study to remove the property from the floodway. And in exchange, the Levesque's donated property for the city to then turn around and build, is it 20th Street or 19th? 20th? 20th Street there. The city proceeded with the construction of the 20th Street, curb gutters, sidewalk, stormwater, all those sorts of improvements. It did prepare a plan to make some significant changes on Bear Butte Creek. I don't know how I'm running on time, but I think the total cost of that project was going to be $3 or $5 million or something like that. And so it was not really pursued after that point. The Levesques did begin to ask the city probably 3 years ago. Maybe it was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
4 years ago? Okay. 4 years ago to complete all the terms of that agreement. The city believes that already did complete it for many reasons and everything else. However, at the end of the day, it still makes sense to try to complete a study which would state how high the property would need to be raised out of the floodplain so that it actually is ready for development. That really is one of about two properties in Sturgis where a large commercial client could actually build. Sturgis does not actually have very many properties where a shopping center of 70, 80,000 square feet or more could locate. This is one of the two. And so without this actually being ready for development, they would never be able to land. And so this was something the city began to undertake probably about a year ago, the completion of the study, and then submitting it to FEMA so that FEMA would agree that if the property was raised X amount, then it could be taken out of the floodplain. So this is really just the city completing that study, not the improvement on it. The improvements on it would really have to be funded through a TIF for the property owners or something like that, but just the study so that it's ready for development because, frankly, that's needed if we ever want to land that sort of commercial tenant.
And what's the address or the street that this property is?
Oh, I shouldn't have blown into that.
Okay.
It's the property on the north.
West of the Baymont.
Yeah, west of Baymont. There's two separate parcels, and I think roughly both of them together equal 18 to 20 acres, something like that.
Any other questions or discussions on that or on the supplemental appropriation as a whole?
Yeah, under the Woodland TIF, the $125,000 revenue will come from...
Okay, the best way to explain that is right now, as we're doing all the construction on Woodland Drive, which includes the reconstruction of Woodland Drive as well as the bike path and the stormwater as well as water upgrades that's on the street directly to the north. I don't remember what that street name is. Six. The improvements there as well as preparing the four pads for eventual development as a homes. That's all part of the generation plan. Right now, just for accounting reasons, it makes more sense for that to all be paid for out of the TIF. That the TIF is self-funded through the city. However, as kind of was included in documents months ago, the TIF is only going to be paying for a small percentage of that, and I won't even tell you what that percentage is because I don't remember, but a small percentage of it. The rest of it would be paid for through the proceeds of actually selling those homes, as well as some of the water funds paying for some of it, and also the generation fund or our capital improvement fund is paying for some of it. So this is essentially saying that all of the costs are going to be paid for initially out of this TIF fund, but then when the project's completed and we know what the final costs are, then there's going to be other funds that kind of come in to pay their set share. I hope that makes sense. The TIF, legally TIFs can run for 20 years. The council is fairly conservative when we set these TIFs up. This TIF, I believe we had estimated that it would be fully repaid in 10 years, 11 years, I think it was about 10 or 11 years. And again, about half the time that legally you could do. And so if anyone questions, I mean, the city is making use of TIFs, but you're always trying to have them repaid far sooner than what legally you can, and honestly, far sooner than what most cities do.
Any other questions, comments?
Yes, my final question. I apologize.
For now.
This section. No.
That's fine.
When you said that utilities budgeted for the food pantry, that's the line item for Kiwanis, right? That
correct.
Comes up
right.
In the claims.
Yep.
So and are they pretty, so $82.93 for water, $132.65 for electric, paid on the 28th. That comes at $215.58 times 12, $25.86, give or take, probably. Okay.
The gas in there.
Gas, okay.
And water.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but the 27 is more than enough to.
Yeah.
Any other discussions?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
You know, we did quite a bit of analysis on $155,000 of TIFT, but what are we going to do about $3.8 million of quote unappropriated cash? If I had that kind of money laying in my back
okay,
pocket,
that again is an accounting term. What occurs from any time we do these capital improvement projects? The capital improvement projects run over more than just 12 months. And so the money is saved from years going into it, and they might come from several different sources, whether some of it is debt financing, some of it is coming just from our sales tax, others also sponsorship, wherever that happens to come from. We do not budget each year for the total amount of money that is going to be spent on each individual capital improvement project, because you do not know 18 months before the end of that budget year if that project is going to be fully completed or not. So in essence, what we say is that there's, for example, $1.5 million worth of revenue coming in that can be spent on capital projects. So we ensure that there's only an additional new $1.5 million that's going to be spent on capital projects. If there's money saved up from times past or something like that, that is going to be spent. All of these projects are included in the generation fund that was approved, the plan document that was approved back in June, I think is when that was. And so in essence, this is just saying, okay, we have, by the end of December, we anticipate the Public Works campus will reach so far, and the
9th Street
Bridge. And honestly, we are over-anticipating that.
We
are not going to get to $3 million worth of Public Works and the 9th Street Bridge. However, if for some reason we do not want a finding in the budget saying that we spent $100,000 more than what was appropriated. And so simply you appropriate those funds. The cash from that comes, for example, on those two projects, the rural development loan, which this is not increasing that loan amount or the amortization or the payments or anything. The funding is coming from the rural development loan as well as from the Pioneer loan that's paying for the 9th Street Bridge. Yeah. But again, the majority of it's coming from the rural development loan. Yeah. This is not changing the total indebtedness that the city has or any of that. It's simply saying we might spend up to that by December 31st. We don't think so. However, every time you underestimate, all of a sudden the contractor does more work than you anticipate, and then there's a finding in the audit.
And to track this, as we'll see it in the claims as we move forward.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
What happens to the surplus funding?
On those projects, well, for example, the Public Works, there will not be surplus funding because the loan is for the set amount, which is essentially covering the building. And so here, if the budgeted authority, for example, for round numbers, say $2 million of that is for the Public Works campus. If we only spend $1 million, there's an extra $1 million of budgeted authority. That goes away because the budget year ends. That doesn't transfer to the next year. It starts over again. And so next year, if we only spent $1 million, then that extra $1 million of need that we said we might spend this year is still going to be needed for next year. But the total budgeted cost is not going to change compared to what was originally awarded when we awarded that Public Works campus project. And so the problem is that the state constitution, how it requires cities to do your monthly or your annual budgets, do not really coincide with how capital projects are completed. And so you do in a year, if you looked at this, you may say, okay, you've appropriated all these millions of dollars for the Public Works campus. over a 2 or 3 year time period, that doesn't mean that much money has been spent. You only spend the amount of money that you actually write the checks out for. And that is not going to exceed what the plan is for that project.
I just have a problem when I can't put my finger. It seems like we're giving ourselves way too much room to maneuver here. So if we're saying we need another $3.8 million and we only need $1.5 million,
I use those numbers off the top of my head. I'm not saying that that's what it is. The problem is we do not know how much of the construction is going to be completed in October, November, and December.
And what bills we'll get.
We have no idea what we're going to get.
Should we not wait and do this?
No, because this is required. In order to complete the process, we have to have at least 45 days. So, yeah. So no matter what, we would have to be done with any of these supplemental appropriations by November 15th. And by November 15th, we don't know how much of the construction is going to be completed and billed by December 31st.
And I'm assuming this kind of mirrors the federal side.
No, federal budgets are entirely different and frankly are very bad. This is entirely different and far more accounted for. And we don't print our own money or come up with our own rules.
You know, I just don't want to see us end up with instead of a $13 trillion shortfall in the federal budget, I sure don't want to see us end up plus or minus on this project.
You know, when you look at the city's budget and our reserves, we have only increased every year for the past 7 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Any other discussion on this first reading of supplemental appropriations? Come on up, Bonnie.
I commend you, Dan, on being able to keep these moving parts in mind and make this all work, and I think you do a commendable job of that. But it's sort of mind-boggling for us and feels like a shell game. And so, very simply, my question is, where is this money? I mean, this is $4 million. Where is it? Is it just in the air?
Okay.
Faye's jumping up and down. She wants to do
it. Okay, Faye. Help me out here.
So you have to look at a budget as just a guideline. It's just guiding us to what we need to do. It's not actually, even we've got $3 million down there, it's not saying that in 3 months we're going to spend $3 million. We can only, like Daniel said, maybe it'll only be $1.5 million that I'm going to actually write a check out and sign it and give it to those. The reason we do this is that every year something comes up in capital improvements that, yes, we get something more done, or the engineers are a little late at getting their bills to us, and then we have a finding because we're over budget. By putting this extra in there, which it's extra, it's not saying we're going to spend it. There's probably the odds of us spending the $3 million is quite large. But we're just making sure that we don't get that finding in the audit. And it's so irritating to me. It's actually irritating to the auditors because it's a state law and they don't believe in it either. They think it's a bunch of Yahoo stuff too. So it's just a guiding, it's a guidance for us. And it's also just to keep us from having that finding. But there's no guarantee. The odds of us spending the $3 million is.
To answer though, Bonnie, where the money's sitting at, the majority of this comes from different funding sources. The majority of it's coming from rural development loan, which is still in the federal government's account. And we just we're going to get it at some point in time. It'll be transferred to our account. That hasn't happened yet, but that the majority of this money is under the federal government's hand right now, and we've signed paperwork to transfer to our account to start building and paying the bills.
So what would happen on this, for example, is immediately after we get a pay request from the contractor of the Public Works campus, when we get that request, rural development actually reviews it and makes sure they agree, and then it comes to the council. The council approves authorization to write the check. Then on Tuesday, we write a check, and we show a copy of that check to the federal government, then the federal government, Rural Development, actually wires the funds back into our account. So we do front the money, but usually it's only for about 7 days. I say usually because now that they're at an end of a fiscal year, it's going to be out of our account for probably 30 days, 35, something like that. But usually it's only about a week or something like that.
We must have it somewhere.
What's that?
We must have it somewhere if we float
the
check.
In order to float the check, that's why we have reserves. I mean, we make loans all the time in between various different funds every day, every week, every month to make sure that you can float that check. I mean, cash in governmental accounting, there's cash accounting as well as fund accounting, and they're different. I mean, the city has one checkbook, several different savings accounts, things like that. But there are times where one fund is negative and you essentially provide a loan to another one. You do that because that's how you can save the taxpayers as much money as possible. And that's
we do. So when the money comes from the feds, does it come lump sum, the whole loan, or is it like a line of credit? We just draw it down as we need it.
Yeah, you draw it.
Per payment, per pay request by the contractor.
We did not get the $4.6 million
in one check.
And so we get a payment request for $250,000. We give it to Rural Development. They agree that that's right. The council approves authorization, and then we cut the check. And then a week later, we get that $250,000 back. And that is usually the correct line. Now that it's the end of a fiscal year, it's going to be 30, 35, 40 days, something like that. And then we'll get the money back. The one difference is with, for example, the 9th Street Bridge, everything that's funded through our Pioneer loan, we have not drawn that down, and we will not draw down that loan until the end of December. And so that's an example that we're using our own city funds to pay for everything because we don't want to pay interest on that. We have to close that loan by December 31st, and so you'll see as we complete more and more capital projects, our cash balance is going to go down. But it's not a big deal because if it ever became an issue, we could get reimbursed for that within 2 days. And so,
okay.
Yeah, at Pioneer. Yep.
Okay. And I know this came up before because, I mean, we've had talked about budget and money and you've given us good reports and stuff, but how much do we have in reserve?
In all the city's accounts right now in cash as well as CDs and everything else, we have $3.5 million.
Yeah, I was going to say 3.5.
Somewhere around $3.5-4 million is what we have right now. And honestly, it's going to continue to increase over the next several months because city has a cash flow kind of change. We're still collecting some money from Raleigh. We get higher sales tax checks now. We're going to be getting property tax revenue in. So now is when we start building our cash back up. Our leanest time is actually end of July and August. And so, yeah, January and February too. But
because I mean, personally, I'd be nervous about spending four if I only really had three. And what if something?
But we're not spending the money, which is the point. We're not saying we're spending that much money.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
I think I get it.
You got it. Cool.
Thank you.
You bet. Any other discussion? Is there a motion on first reading supplemental appropriations?
I'll move.
First by Jason.
Second.
Second by Terry. We'll go ahead and roll call this. I'll start first. Yes. Dave?
Yes.
Becca?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
Jason?
Yes.
Terry?
Yes.
And Mike?
No.
That passes 6-1.